message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Pastor Sandra. Remember, said the Lord, Ictofra acti manangos, alid no domonit, tenigandos, ufra acti pedigo, lal atiso of Reno, tom dish canania, calabandis, isculatu fredubo habadinats, calamandis can asis of Brundi, teligos ufra acti dima, alidisto, somingo, farino, alidandan tactis ivrek aptus suto inguntu ma angunto palongidnete walongong rodingish actis or the act budumik temiandus toro ofrectis his how the host like and the jugna angin dun shon from dun shon dun gun tumbongon tinemente nek do grohopti te prescut restus leftro prohotrap te pratis elehats. Hele hat ali his taragati suve. He says, see, if you will look and pay attention and watch truly, you will see, I have never failed actually. But look, you might see things from the lower top makes you feel like there is, seems to be a form of delay. But see, I am God. I have never failed. If you pay attention, you will see that which we call delay actually is me saving you, keeping you, preserving you for the appointed time, said the Lord. For see, Say not in your heart, how about the promises of old? How about the prophecies of old? Have they come to pass? He said, no. For those that imagine vain imaginations in their hearts, they forsake their own mercy. So do not forsake your mercy. Believe in me. Believe in my word. Hold on to it. Never give up. Keep on going. Trust in me. Never give in to the voice of the enemy. Do not believe in the doubt and the wrong and the errors that is trying to paint into your heart and make you feel like God does not love you. But say, see, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will yet love you. You will yet see my works. You will yet see my beauty. You will yet see my glory. You will yet see my heart. He says, see, if you will count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on 7 occasions, I have preserved you for a purpose, said the Lord. I'm preparing you for that which I have said. He says, so laugh at the devil. Rejoice over it. Dance about it. Give the Lord a joy over it. And see, at the appointed time, you will have it, said the Lord of hosts. Lift your hands for that prophecy. Lift your hands to Lord for that prophecy. Thank you, Father, for the prophecy. We give you praise. Hallelujah forevermore. Tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. All right? Prophecy is a divine utterance directed to an individual. Tongues is an unknown language spoken. There's something we call interpretation of tongues. That means when tongues is interpreted by the same spirit, and that's when it becomes prophecy. So Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, if you read downward, he says, if you have a prophecy but you have no interpretation, you should keep quiet. But when you have a word of prophecy by the Spirit, it should be interpreted that the saints may be edified. So what I just did now was just the Spirit of God gave me spirit words, and the same Spirit gave interpretation to it so that you can be edified. Hallelujah forevermore. Turn your Bibles to Colossians 4 quickly. Colossians 4. Colossians 4. We began a teaching in the first service. We titled it Ecclesia. So I'm going to run through it quickly. Ecclesia. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse 15. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. Can we just? Colossians 4 and verse 15. He says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So that means in the early church, we notice that when a letter is written to one church, they read it, they pass it across to the other church, they read it, they send their own back, they read it. So statistics shows that the epistles were never primarily written to an individual. They were written to a church. They were written to churches. And you see, there's an idea you have to have about God when it comes to churches. In Revelations, for instance, you will see how that Jesus, in his glorified form, was addressing different churches, because those churches have different peculiar cases that Jesus was dealing with. That means God deals with every church peculiarly, particularly. Same message, same word, but different seasons. Amen forevermore. But here's the point you have to get, is the fact that there is no such thing as, well, I'll read my Bible in my house, I'll watch T.D. Jakes, I'll watch Keith Moore, I'll watch Kenneth Copeland, I'll watch this, and then I'll say the Lord's Prayer, I say, I have had church. You've not had church. You've had devotion, not church. Why? Because you see, the word church, like I defined to them in the early service, in the first service, I said the word church is from the Greek word ekklesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. The E has a bar on it, so it is pronounced as ekklesia. And I said that word ekklesia is from two compound words. It's a compound word rather containing two words, ek and lesia. Ek means the called out ones. Listen, we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been brought into the kingdom of God and his kingdom of his son. So we have been called out from the world. Now, church is now, the word lesia means gathering. So ecclesia means the gathering of the called out ones. And you see, this gathering means so much to God. Like I told them in first service, I said the reason why this gathering means so much to God is because it cost Jesus his life. The Bible said in the book of John 12, verse 24, it says, the corn of wheat, it abides alone. But when it dies and falls to the ground, it will bring forth harvest of many souls. TLB, the Living Bible. In other words, our existence as Christians cost Jesus his death. And when he died, even though he died alone, but he rose up as the church. In other words, his death was what was necessary for our birth into the kingdom. That means the church is an aftermath, is the fruit of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So that means the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you right now cost Jesus his life. That's why God places so much emphasis, so much honor on the church. It is ecclesia, the gathering of the called out ones. Glory to God forevermore. In Matthew 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some said Elias, some others said Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Petros. That means you are a rock. And I checked the Greek construction here. The word Petros there has to do with a little rock that you see on top. But inside, when you dig, it has another bigger rock that it is resting on. It's called Petros. All right? So he says you are rock. And what is that rock? It is the rock of revelation. Notice he says flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter gave a revelation of who Jesus was. Some seen just as a prophet, as a rabbi. But you see, by revelation, Peter said you are Christ. So the revelation of Jesus' Christhood, upon that revelation is what Jesus said the church will be built. He now says, see, and I see unto thee, thou art Petros, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the revelation of his Christhood, that means Christ means Messiah. And the one that we save, therefore, must resurrect. So now he is now saying, on that revelation is what I will build my church. In other words, I will resurrect. The gate of Hades, that means the gate of grave. You saw L in your Bible, but the original says grave. So it now says the gate of grave will not prevail against it. Now, here is something. Jesus is talking about his own death. And he refers to church. Why? Because when Jesus died, though he died as Jesus, but he woke up from the dead as the church. It's like when a seed falls into the ground, it dies as a singular seed. But when it's coming back, it comes back as many seeds. Are you listening? That's why in scriptures, Jesus was never referred to as the only begotten son in the epistles. He was referred to as firstborn among the brethren. Why? In the gospel, he was the only begotten son. He was the only corn of wheat. Are you listening to me? But when he died, he brought forth harvest of many seeds. So you and I now, we are the fruits of Jesus' death. That means we are born from the grave. We are called brethren. Brethren means from the same womb. That's the Greek word, from the same womb. So the womb that gave birth to us is the grave of Jesus. We don't die before. That's why we no go die again. That's why we belong to the never die gang. Do you know why? Because we will never die again. He that has passed from death has passed unto life. He that has believed has passed from death to life. So we will never see death again. There is no condemnation for us anymore. We are not afraid of rapture because we are citizens of heaven. We have passed from darkness to light. We are heirs of the kingdom. We are ambassadors. We are citizens. Philippians 3:21. So that means as a child of God, when Jesus died, he died for us and as us. It's a law of representation. When he died, he didn't just die for us. He also died as us. There are two different things. He died for our sins, fine. But he also died as us. In other words, it is accrued to our account that we actually died. It is accrued to our account that we were dead to the sins that we committed. It is accrued to our account that we have resurrected. Why? Because when Jesus did it, the ministry of Jesus is called vicar ministry. Substitutionary assignment is what he did. That means he took our place, we took his place. He did it for us and as us. So Jesus now rose up from the grave as the church. That means our identity as believers, the brethrenhood, the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you, cost Jesus his life. And that's why God places so much importance on it. So the church is not just a social gathering. Church is a living organism. People living together with a supernatural relationship. Someone say supernatural relationship. Say it again. Say it again. Therefore, we place the relationship between us above our bloodly relationship. We place the relationship between you and the person sitting next to you above your bloodlines. I know you've heard people say things like, you know, blood is thicker than water, but I'm telling you, the relationship of the spirit is stronger than blood. Blood is thicker than water, all right, no problem, but spirit is stronger than blood. Because what binds us together is the spirit. The Bible says that we have all drank together into one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. So we are one body. He that is joined to the Lord is what? Is one spirit. When God is going to address us in the book of Hebrews 12, he says to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are registered in heaven, whose name are registered in heaven, to the innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. When Apostle Paul was going to pray to God in Ephesians 3 and verse 14, he says, for this cause above our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So Paul mentions two divisions of the family. Some are already in heaven, some are still on earth. It's a big family that transcends this natural world. It's a family that continues, that transcends even into the afterlife. So in this big family, Papa God is there. In this family, we have David, Joseph, Abraham, T.L. Osborne, Papa Kenneth E. Hagin, Archbishop Benson Daosa. We are all one family. They are already perfected. They are the spirit of just men made perfect. If you read in Hebrews 12. So that means it's one big family. I am there. You are there. And this family cost Jesus his life. This family ties that we have. We are tied by the spirit. It's not coercive force. It's not Van der Waal force. It's not electrovalent force. It's not covalent force. It's not magnetic force. It's a spirit force. We are held together by the spirit. We are indestructible. So something between us stronger than blood. Stronger than blood. And Jesus demonstrated this, like I showed them in first service. I mean, I will just read one of those scriptures to you. In Mark 3 verse 31, there came then his brethren and his mother, standing without, sent out him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him and said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. I mean, Jesus was sitting with the disciples. He was preaching to the people listening to him the way I'm preaching now. And then his parents came. They were outside and they sent for him. So they told him, see, your mom, your siblings, your brethren, they are waiting for you. And look at Jesus' response in verse 34 and, you know, verse 33. And he answered them saying, who is my mother or my brethren? Then verse 34, it says, and he looked, Bible says, he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold my mother and my brethren. That means Jesus is saying, listen, those ones out there, they are not my brothers and my sisters. These are my brothers and my sisters. Why? He helps us to see that how that the relationship you have with the person sitting next to you in church is highly ranked than the relationship you have with your biological family, except and only if your biological family also is saved. In other words, even in your disposition towards your biological family, your first point of connection with them should be the spirit. Listen to me, you are a child of God. Everything about us is by the spirit. Your connection with your family that are born again should first be by the spirit. Listen, you should be doing good to them first because you are bonded together by the Spirit. That means you have a spiritual understanding. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says he does not want that, you know, he says it is wrong for Christians to go to court. He says, can't you judge among yourself? He says, is there no wise person among you that you can judge a matter? Because to Paul, in fact, it is like you are bringing yourself down. He says, how dare you now go to unbelievers to judge your case? This was the same guy who says, in Christ is the fullness. And he says, see, he says, in him dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. And we are complete in him. Glory to God forevermore. I said, glory to God forevermore. So what is between us is bigger and stronger than blood. At one time, Jesus was preaching in Luke 11, 28-29. And then one woman stood up and says, in the say, Jesus, they preach, the woman, the filan. The woman stood up and says, hey, blessed is the womb that bore you. Blessed is the breast that you suck. Jesus said, yeah, but rather, blessed are these ones who sit and hear the word. In other words, Jesus helps us to see how that the relationship we have in church is stronger than blood. We are more than blood brothers. We are spirit brothers. Do you understand? We have all drank together into one spirit. My spirit and your spirit. We have drank together. We are one family. This is ecclesia. The gathering of the called out ones. We are called out. We are separated. Listen, we are spiritual elites. We don't belong to the world. We are partakers of the God kind of life. We are sharers with the God kind. Don't you understand? Do you know what it means to have fellowship with God? Two things cannot fellowship except they are alike. Listen, we are gods on two legs walking. The God of Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives in us. So listen, when we are communion spirit to spirit. That's why Paul says, no, we know man after the flesh. All this, I'm Yoruba, I'm Mada, I'm Nasarawa again, I'm Igbo, I'm Yoruba. Shut the trap. You are spirit. That's your first contact. Is he born again? If he's born again, then we are sisters. If he's born again, then we are brothers. So you see, you have to understand this. And that's why God places so much emphasis on our gathering. And that's what I share with them in the first service. How that our relationship, all right, is supernatural like that. It's a supernatural relationship. Now, a bigger point I want to make in the second service is that while it is true that you cannot do church alone, like I said, while it is true that we are bonded together spiritually, all right, a bigger truth you also have to know is this, is that, one, you can't have church alone at home because church is ecclesia, the guardian of the called out ones. However, even when you are in church, you are not still doing church if you are not participating. Let me give you an instance. There is something in biology, it's not a perfect example, but I just want to use it. There's something in biology they call vestigial parts. We did it when I was in SS2. We're talking about that yeye man, Wege Bahed. You don't forget that. They call his names. Is it Darwin? We're just talking rubbish. But we need to do it so that I can pass the biology. Amen. All right. We're talking about embryology. We're talking about evidences of his theory, yeye theory. All right. But anyways, here's the point. There's something they call vestigial parts, like your appendix. So they assume that those things should not be there because they are not useful. Now, there's something we call Lamarck's theory of use and disuse. Sorry, this is not biological science class, but you learn. Amen. Because sometimes the things of the spirit can be learned with from natural things. There's something we call the law of use and disuse, Lamarck's theory. And that's the law that people in gym use. Some of you now, as you see me now, no packs. But if I'm on certain diet now for the next 3 months, and I get a good trainer, all these ladies, you start doing me like this. Anyways, I know you won't do that. You're a children of God. Amen forevermore. But the point I want to make is that theory explains why if you use something, that's why you see, having people go to gym, they eat a lot. What happens is that as you are using a particular muscle again and again, all right, it will be taking more nutrients. So you want to eat more. So that's why your right hand, some of you, you can use it better than your left. Why? Because you've been using your right hand for long. is called the law of use and disuse. Something you use gets better, requires more focus and stronger. Something you don't use gets redundant. Are you listening to me? Now, we are members in particular. Now, church is a gathering of the called out ones. One, you can't have church alone at home. Two, even if you are in church and you are not participating, you are still not having church. It is as though you are a vestigial part. It is as though you are a redundant part. And redundancy, what it does is this. It is terrible. One thing is you might feel like, what's my own? Is it concerning anybody? My Christianity is between me and God. It's me and God. My relationship is between me and God. It's not true. Your relationship is not about you and God alone. It's about the family. Christianity is not a personal race. Christianity is a corporate race. You always need someone to help you. You also have people to help. Christianity is not about you and you and for you. It's bigger than you. It's about everybody. Listen, it's like a big picture. All right, look at the big picture. It's like a big puzzle where everybody now has a jigsaw part to play to make the big picture. So if you fail in your part, you are indirectly affecting other people. Are you listening to me? This is why, you see, in the church, we drink together. It's called corporate anointing. When we gather, that's why some people just assume we come to church, you know, to show our new finest dress we sew. I like this dress. Then the next one, wear another style. You know, that's not what church is meant for. Church is we come to fellowship with spirit. It is spirit to spirit. Listen, if you listen to me for 1 year consistently, your life can't be the same. Oh, better. It's not possible. There are relationships you get into. Some things you are struggling with, they will die out. Mean today that you are happy that I'm your pastor. You know, once upon a time, I couldn't pray for more than 1 hour. Until I had friends that we would go to sports center. Oh, yeah, you about female law university. We'll go and pray for 6 hours, 12 hours. That one you will pray, your jaw will be paying you. Leave me. You want to sit down, they will remove the chair. There are some things you are struggling with, addiction, that if you get into the right relationships, they will die out fast. Why? Listen, the Bible is not a joke when it says iron sharpeneth iron. So we are one body. Ecclesia is a gathering of God's people who have been called out from darkness. So forsaking that gathering is forsaking the death of Jesus. It is also forsaking that which God has put in you to bless others. Then that is selfishness. That means you are in sin. So not coming to church, not participating is a sin. Because whatsoever is not done in love is sin. Because there is something in you meant for somebody else that you are holding back. Because we are fellowshipping spirit to spirit each time we gather. It's not a social gathering, brother. It's a spirit gathering. This is ecclesia. You have to approach church with this understanding. Because some people attend church just to appease the guilt for not coming. They just come to mark calendar so that somebody asks them, did you go to church? Oh, I went to church. Or some people, there are some people, your parents still ask you, you go to church today? Mommy, I go to church. Just to mark the calendar. Just to appease the guilt that you went to church. But no, listen. In fact, it shows that you are still a baby. One of the high mark of spiritual growth is when there is a shift about your spiritual devotion from devotion, from duty to delight. When doing the things of God is no longer a duty for you, it becomes a delight. You are happy about it. Like David and Old Testament says, I am happy whenever they say, let us go to the house of God. Much more than a physical house, you are the house of God. And when we gather, we are fellowshipping spirit to spirit. Let this inspire your understanding about ecclesia. So all this I can do but by myself. All this, na me and me, it's all about me. I just come to church, I sit down, I don't talk to nobody. I don't need nobody. I just want to come to church. I just want to hear the word. And then I just dust my buttocks and I carry my bag and I say hi to nobody. And I just jump into my car and I just ignite the key and then I move away. Listen, that's selfish Christianity. And that is wasted investment. You are, listen, do you understand the creator who created everything lives in you? If you are not fellowshipping with others, what you're doing is you are wasting an eternal investment. God is not happy with that. A very good example is, when you think about this, a very good example is Thomas and Judas Iscariot. I don't know. Listen, whenever God told us to gather, he says, I have not told the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. Listen, whenever we gather, there is a blessing. There is a blessing of gathering. I showed them in first service. In Psalm 133, there's a blessing of gathering. He says, for dear God commands the blessing. So don't play church truancy. Jesus gave them an appointment. He says he will meet them in Galilee. He gave them, see, when God makes an appointment, he never misses it. And guess what? Thomas was not there. And when Thomas was not there, he began to cast doubt about the resurrection of Christ to him. See, as a pastor, I have seen this happen many times. For example, now, as I'm speaking to you, there's a lady in this church right now that God spoke to me about during the week. Now she's not in church. She didn't come for first service, she's not in second service. If you call now, she has traveled home. Where is the home? Abuja. And by the time she comes back and you ask her, why did you go home? I just have to go and say hello to my mom. You see, you have to grow up. I told them in first service that when I was in university, like many of you, I was in my year 3, 11 years ago, when I began to pastor. Ibadan is just 50 minutes away from Ife. I schooled in OAU Ife. 50 minutes drive. And I didn't go home. I wasn't going home for holidays. Why? I was pastoring a church. As a 300 level student. I pastored 300 level. Pastor, we don't call it 300 level in our school. We call it part 1, part 2. I pastored part 3, part 4, and part 5. And after I finished my NYC, still went back again pastoring until I came where I am now. Some people, even if their younger one calls them that, mommy has bought new chickens now, the first thing is going home. There are people like that. By the way, I'm sure this person will listen to this tape. I have a girlfriend that we went to the same primary school. She was health prefect. I like her. She's very clean. She's health prefect. I was head boy. We went to the same secondary school, the same thing. We're very close. But it was university that separated us. Guess what? Her dad was my lecturer too. So the dad likes me. He used to give me money when I was in school. Now the point out, she's married with kids now. So don't start thinking, pastor's got a girlfriend. But that's not what I'm saying. Anyway, the point I want to make is, when she was in university, she was schooling in Abeokuta. I was schooling in Ife. We still communicate. This lady goes home every weekend to go and pick the mom. She's the last born. That's why all these last born, they take before they get sense. I'm sorry. Make no verse. Okay, I retrieve that word. Now get sense in Jesus' name. The point I'm trying to make is, they are always very dependent. I mean, I can give a very simple example. Like my younger sister now, our last born. This guy is using one of the latest iPhones. I've been using this phone since 2018. Last time she called me and said, hey, brother, money the airtime. You are using a phone that can buy 7-10 of my phone. And you're asking for 29 airtime. Airtime kill you there. Anyways, that's just to tell you, last borns are like that. But the point I want to make is, she goes home every weekend. And I ask her, kilo lunch, Shinley? Lectures. So, I was getting about me fry. Want to see no? The market daily. Want to fry chicken? So she'll go and pick it on Saturday. Comes back that same Saturday. Soup. You know this thing they call stock pot. They'll put stew for her. That's what she will eat for the whole week. She'll be putting inside the refrigerator for the whole week. Weekend again, she's going back home. Never cooks. I'm sure she'll be listening to this thing. I'm going to send the audio to her. She's going to laugh. All right. But the point I want to make is, grow out of that. Listen, and that's one of the things that shows that you are mature. When you can override emotion for better purpose. Say after me, I'm growing. Don't be like Thomas. Thomas was not around. Look at it. Let me read it to you. in John 20 verse 17. I want you to pay attention so that you can see the terrible implication. There are people many times God has assigned something for them, but they are just missing in absence. Like the lady I spoke to you about, God spoke to me about while I was praying. Right now she's not in church. Some people miss the day of their visitation. They just miss it. That's why he says, don't be like them. He says, do not forsake the gathering of yourself together as the manner of some is. The people he's talking about, don't forget, they are also Christians. Because there is no gathering of unbelievers. Do you understand? Church is the gathering of the called out ones. Are you following me? Have you seen parents, like just like you, this you can relate with very well with African parents. Alright, an African woman can have 7 children. And they were telling 2 of his children, say, see, don't be like that one. You know the year word. That person is talking about is still his childhood. Do you understand? So there's relationship. We don't say there's no relationship. But that communion or that attitude that she doesn't like, she's warning the other children not to be like him. That's what God is doing here. He says, guy, don't forsake gathering of yours together as the manner of some people are. So God is referring to some of his children to be bad-mannered. Be a good child of God. Not a gimme, gimme, gimme child of God. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me my, because my name is Jimmy. And then you get all you can, and then you can all you can. You know, some Christians, their life is, you know, they get all they can, and then they can all they get. They sit on it. You get the gist? Don't live like that. Grow up. Look at it. In verse 17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I have sent unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being in the first day of the week, now listen, the Lord has spoken to him, all right? Now, verse 19, then the same day of evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, don't forget what we read in verse 17. He says, Jesus said, I have sent unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. They were worried. They were afraid of the Jews, so they were hiding somewhere. The doors were shut, and Jesus just appeared. There's a reason why they wrote it for us that the doors were shut, to show you that Jesus did not come through the door. He appeared. It's a characteristic feature of the resurrected body. And we are going to have that body, where there will be no limitation in the physical in the age to come. Amen forevermore. Now let's go on verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. And when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so sent I you. Notice, he gave them peace through his words. They received gladness of joy. Look at the things that this guy was missing. And then again, he sent them forth. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. Verse 22. And when he has said this, he breathed on them. Look at the beautiful things this guy missed out. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Of course, theologians will tell you, if you check other accounts, they didn't quite receive the Holy Ghost here, so to speak. They only receive an understanding to get the scripture. Alright? Now, here's the point now. Verse 23 now says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, ye are retained. Look at the powerful endowment that Jesus is giving the disciples. Verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Where in the world was Thomas? Some Christians are like this. They miss out big on God. you will not miss your day. I say you will not miss out on your day. 25 now says, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Look at what the guy said. But he said unto them, don't tell me shit. You tell me you saw Jesus. Come on now, I think I'm a kid. Oh, look at these guys. They're trying to play a fool on me. Oh, no. I'm smarter than that. He said, come on, guy. We saw Jesus. He appeared to us. He breathed on us. He even commissioned us. He empowered us. We had gladness of joy. Come on now. Thomas said, Pito, you guys want to fool me? Don't try to fool me. No, I don't believe that. You told me you saw Jesus. No, no, guys, I don't believe that shit. You don't try and lie on me. Don't try and lie to me. Anyways, you know what happened eventually? Look at the things he was saying in unbelief. He says, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came. Okay. 25. The other disciples were there who were seeing the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in the hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas was like, hey guys, don't try to fool me now. I saw when the Roman nails went into his hands. Come on now. I saw when the nails went into his legs. Come on now. I saw when the guy gave his last breath. So don't try to fool me now. I saw when the Roman soldier took the spear and thrust it by his side and blood and water came by. Oh, you guys, you try to fool me. Think I'm a kid. I'm bigger. I'm not a young boy. You try to lie to me. Well, something happened afterwards. Because Jesus was there all the time. He's omniscient, omnipresent. Look at what happened in verse 26. After 8 days again, his disciples were with him. And Thomas this time was with them. Ah, somebody say, praise the Lord. Finally repent, thank God. Then came Jesus, the doors also being shut, and he stood in the midst and said again, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Thomas, Thomas. Ah! Oh yeah, come. Oh yeah, put your hand inside my hand. See him. Jesus not showing again. See. Oh yeah, see. Then the guy, Thomas, he actually did it too. He went there, put his hand, checked the side. Then Thomas says, wow, my Lord, my God. But Jesus will not move with such tears. Those are tears of unbelief. Jesus said, ah, Thomas, should be you have seen now, now you have believed. But more blessed are those who do not see, but yet believe. Look at it. Then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Jesus rebuked his unbelief. And what bet the unbelief? Huh? Church truancy. He was not in church. That's what get the, because you see, he was missing an absence. Now look at what happened in verse 28. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. I was thinking just with this, don't worry. Jesus was not moved by those. Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Thank God Jesus showed up the second time. Thomas would have lived his entire life not believing in resurrection. See, and if you don't believe in resurrection, you are not born again. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 13 told us, if Christ not be risen from the dead, then is our faith in vain. Our preaching is in vain. Christianity began as resurrection. That's why you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and you confess him as Lord. Those were the things you did. Resurrection is where Christianity began. No resurrection, no Christianity. This guy will have lived all his life not believing in resurrection. So church transit cost a lot. Here is another guy by the name Judas. That one, he was always around, but he was mind absent. He was around though, he was in church. But he was thinking about money all the time. Money, money, money. Until he sold his master. He's always thinking of how to make merchandise. Okay. Ah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But he's still thinking. He was mind. There are Christians like that. They are not participating. They are the ones who comes to church and then they will touch the chair like this. Ah, there is dust. They didn't clean it. Now remove handkerchief. Clean it. And now sit down. Ah, God is merciful. Just give you a knock there. God will not give you knock in Jesus' name. You know who God gave knock now? That guy that was making noise. Calling himself a god, Herod. God gave him a knock. And what happened? Worm eat him from the toe to the worm. Someone's like, ah, pastor, this is, ah, we are under grace now. Ah, calm down. See, let me tell you. One of the things you have not realized is this. Look up, everybody, look up. Look up. Our dispensation of grace should give reverence to God more. He was not there. He was there, but he was not there. Praise God forevermore. Listen, the greatest sin, let me say it to you today, in Christianity, sin is selfishness. If you can cure selfishness, let me tell you, you'll be a good member of a church, you'll be a good pastor, you'll be a good employee, you'll be a good child, you'll be a good father to your children. If you can cure selfishness, and this selfishness is not just physical, there are spiritual selfishness, you don't know. Because you don't understand this in this light, that's why maybe you are still playing with church attendance. Maybe I should say it again. There is something in you and by you and through you that should benefit the other attendee in church. Did you hear what I just said? The Spirit of God in us individually worketh differently for the corporate benefit of the body. Do you understand? I don't know if you get what I just said. Should I repeat myself? The Spirit of God in us, you know, the Spirit of God is living in Pastor Adejo as though he's only him. The Spirit of God is living in Minister Blessing as though she's the only one that he lives in. So the Spirit of God lives in all of us individually, doing different things through us for the corporate benefit of the body. Do you get that? I don't know if you got that. Your hand is different from your leg. But they are all working together for the corporate benefit of the body. Ephesians 4, everybody. Let me show you that quickly. Then we close. And then one more scripture again, then we close. What's that? Kilenjebe. All right. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Don't worry, I'll rush now. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. If you read the 1 Corinthians 12 counterpart of this scripture, it says, God has set some in the church. First apostles. So this gift is talking about are set in the church. Verse 12 now says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So much to say about this, but not for today. It now says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in ways to deceive. 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Somebody say all things. Say it again. So God wants us to grow into him in all things. Wow. Which is even the head.
even Christ. Can we all read verse 16 together, everybody? And I want you to make sure you are reading. Verse 16, everybody, out loud, three. Are you there? Are you all there? Three, two, go out loud. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint... Hold on. Let's read it again. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself. Do you understand what we just read? He's saying that, now talking about Christ, he says it is from him the whole body is fitly framed together. And then we are compacted by that which every joint supplies. That means we are different joints. Christ is the head, different joints. We supply. There's a particular measure that individually we supply. Are you following? That which every joint supplies. Now, we supply according, look at it, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Hey. That means God is working something through you, through that one, through the other person, individually. So we are all contributing to the corporate benefit of the body. We are all playing our part according to the workings of God in individual's life. Oh, how many of you got it? Let's read it again. Who has a better, simpler English? Because some of you, this English is... Who has like Message Bible or Amplified? Okay, give me Amplified. Okay. He says, from him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. Did you get that? Every part has that which is supplying. For example, even in tithing, giving, some people in church, their own, they don't believe in giving, they just believe to come and hear the word. Hear the word. You must participate. There is something you supply. Are you listening to me? This is why God prioritizes our gathering. It's beyond social gathering. Can I get another translation again? Thank you, Pastor Sandra. Any other translation again? NLT, please, let me bring it. I want to read this too, so that because King James, when there's doubt, some of you, it's your grandma's phone, Bible you are still using. Look at it. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. Do you understand? He says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other part grow. Do you see that? It helps the other part grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing, full of love. Thank you, man. This is one of the most perfect translations. Do you see that? That means if one part is not working, what it's doing is shortchanging the other part from that which God is doing through him. That's selfishness. Because many times you don't understand the implication of church truancy. You think it's just, well, I'm just tired this morning, you know. I don't feel like in church today. God lives in me. He lives in me. Then you just turn on the TV. Or you can even say, I'll just listen to one of Pastor Elijah's message now. The one he preached last week. I'll listen to it now. You need a knock. How about if you wake up in the morning and you are feeling like, I don't want to go to church, but I have that which I must supply. I have the spirit to supply. Then you say, no, though my feeling is feeling like not going, but no. You are saying in the Namakote, today's church will be awesome. Lives will be transformed. Through prayer, you're already supplying the things of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? You're already supplying in the place of prayer. You are supplying the things of the Spirit. Listen, look, things don't happen in church just only because the man of God is powerful. Are you listening to me? See, I've been to places to preach before, one or two times, where when I got there, all right, I have to, first of all, tell the people to pray in tongues. The people, and I've been to places before. I'm not using my scripture for that when he climbed, which remember that day he said, so much anointing here. When we got to the hotel, he was telling me, say, man, that's a supernatural church. Church, those guys are hungry. Like, that spirit is, that's it. I've been to places where, as I man the podium, everywhere, power surge. See, you have to understand that things happen in the church because everybody is supplying that which it needs to supply. You wake up in the morning, you do 10 minutes for church service. You are prepared. And not just spiritually alone, physically, your offering, you are prepared this on Saturday. It's not on Sunday morning, you're not looking for 120 naira you kept in your bra. You are prepared. In the name of Jesus, souls will be won today. Lives will be transformed today. You are coming, you are talking that way. Like that woman. She's saying, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If I may touch, you know, she's coming to church prepared. You are supplying. Many people are yet to understand this dimension of the church. That's why they do church truancy. There is a part you supply. Look at it in Romans 12. Look at it. Romans 12 verse 4. It says, for as we have many members, all these old Shakespeare English. Abeg, give me that your NLT. Let me open to Ephesians and Romans 12. Thank you, man. Now, just go back to your seat. Go and share with your friend. Let me use the Bible for today. Amen forevermore. Look at it. Romans 12 verse 4. It says, just as our now, listen, oh, what a simple. That's why I told you, some of you, the problem you have with Bible interpretation many times is just King James English. King James English. Thou wentest, showest thou, wentest thee. Simple things. If you can just get simple new King James English, not the old one, or NLT, your problem, some of you, your Bible reading problem will solve. Some of you are bored because you don't understand, you don't even understand this, because just, and Jesus went test, and shoutest, and shouldest. Just get simple English. Now let's go. Verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Is that simple enough? Come on, is that simple enough? Now he's talking metaphorically and comparatively. He's saying just, he's using our body now as an example. He now says, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Is that simple enough? Verse 6, he now says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Hey, is that clear?
Yes, sir.
God has given us what? Different gifts. Different grace to do certain things well. Like me now, except I'm in the spirit, I can't sing like Sinatra, or like, who dash me? Because I'll just go off key. Thank God I'm a child of God. My father knows my voice. If not, angels will have stopped me. Stop, stop! In fact, I'm sure sometimes when I sing, if the person who owns the song hears me, he will start taking notes there. Eh? So this is how you... Did I really sing this song? I'm sure if Sinatra catch me, do we have murdered many of our songs? I declare that I am strong in the strength of God in me. I'm on top and I just go from G to F to everything, join. Amen forevermore. So we have special grace to do certain things individually, differently. Look at it. He now says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it godly. Verse 9, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to that which is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Oh. I think this is self-explanatory, right? Please let me pass, Osha, let me pass the phone back to her. Amen. So we have that which we both supply. Amen forevermore. I said amen forevermore. Let me stop here, you know, because I've repented. I don't want to take your time. Okay. What was that? All right. Were you blessed? Say after me, I'm a fruitful member of Cornerstone Christian Center. I bear forth fruit in my season. I do well spiritually, financially, academically. Amen forevermore. So, somebody's wondering, so what is the point of action? Number one, never cease to pray for the church. Don't just be a get. I want to get. Start supplying too. You know the problem with many of you? You don't know that you have so much power. Are you listening to me? Some of you feel, well, pastor is anointed, so I don't even have any impute. Listen, the Apostle Paul, he begged for prayers. He says, pray for us that the word of God will have free course. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1 rather. He says, pray for us that the word of God will have free course and that we might be delivered from unreasonable men, for all men have faith. So pray for the church, pray for the pastor, pray for our services. Look up, everybody, look up. Do you know that one of the ways you know your faith is working is when you begin to use your faith for the benefit of others? See, there are only two people in the gospel that Jesus said had great faith. Only two people. And both of them are not even Israelites. The Syrophoenician woman and the centurion. And three things that mark both of them out. Number one is they leaned on Jesus' righteousness. Number two is they leaned on God's word, the integrity of God's word. The most important one is this. Three of them, they came on behalf of another person. See, you have not exercised strong faith enough until your faith has prevailed for the corporate benefit of the church or for another person. Are you listening to me? So you are releasing your faith for Sunday service that, oh God, let every sick person that comes to church never go back the same. Oh God, let everyone that need an encounter receive it. You see, you are releasing your faith. And as you come to church, you are waiting to see it. Let utterance be given to our pastor. Let the word be understood by everyone. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are releasing your faith that way. You are supplying that which you need to supply for the corporate benefit of the body. That is ecclesia. So you can see that you can't play church truancy. And you have to participate. Don't be mind absent. Participate. Join a unit. Invite many. Start discipling others. Bring your friend. Let's fill the chairs. Let's start third service. Let's have overflow. Church don't grow because the pastor is preaching powerful. That's not all that makes church grow. Church grows because every part of the body is involved. They are functioning. Thank you. Listen, the reason why you are growing, some of you that are still growing, all right, I'm talking about physical growth now, is because your cells are growing. See, growth begins from the cellular level. See, look up, everybody. If every one of you today All right, you are releasing your faith for increase in church. You are inviting, you are aggressive about it. We will pack out this place, even for third service. How many of you agree with me? Let me ask you, the churches you see that they are having five services, is the pastor the only one going out to reach out, knocking on people's door? No. It's all the members working together, building the work. It's a corporate work. This is Ecclesia. We have been called to serve. Praise God forevermore. Were you blessed? Were you blessed? Rise on your feet, everybody. I want to pray a prayer of consecration today. You're going to consecrate yourself afresh to the Lord for the work. You're going to make a decision in your heart and say, Lord, I want to be all out for soul winning. I want to be all out to reach out to more people. I want to invite my friends. I want to reach out to the unchurched. I want to save the unsaved. I want to disciple men for the Lord. I want you to make that decision today now. Put your hand on your chest. Talk to the Lord. Pledge allegiance to Him. Trust Him that by His Spirit, you'll be more functional as a member. Talk to the Lord about it. Say it from your heart. Mean it. Pray it like you mean it. I pledge allegiance to the Lord with all my heart, all my might. By the Spirit of God within me, I live for you. I stand on the rock that is greater than I. I have a sound mind. I have dreams, ideas that work. Nothing can stop me. This is the dream of God. God's vision is my vision. Even I can't stop me. Nothing can stop me. I declare that I am strong in the strength of God in me. I mount up with wings as eagles. I fly. I declare that I am strong with the strength of God in me. I mount up with wings as eagles, and I fly. I declare that I am strong with the strength of God in me. I mount up with wings as eagles. I fly above situation. You fly above challenge. I hear news of wars.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.